Titus chapter 1. I want to look at a subject this evening that I'm going to be careful in how I explain some things. You who are adults will understand my attitude of being careful in some of the wording of some of the things I'll say. And you will have to understand what I mean by what I say. And in a few minutes, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I guess we'll find out. Titus 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. That verse says an awful lot. But one thing it does say is there are some that have pure minds. I want you to listen intently tonight. This is perhaps for some the most important message you've heard in a long time. I hope you'll listen. This has been on my heart for about 3 or 4 weeks. I've looked at it, studied at it, added to it, taken away from it. So I hope we'll listen. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. One of the things I think this verse says is if you have a pure mind and a pure heart, you see the purity or the good things, the good part of things. But if you do not have a pure mind and we'll say a pure heart, even good things can become impure. Give you an example. A little child, I say this carefully. To a person with a pure mind, a little child is something so precious and so tender and so loving. You say, I just want to squeeze them to death. And it's a pure thought. But for some who have an impure heart, that same little child can be something very impure. You understand what I'm saying? And for them to even say and love to squeeze them, you think you better stay away. And the difference is the mind, the pure and the impure. There are some who can take just an innocent comment and twist it to make it something dirty or vile. And I believe that's at least one thing that this verse is saying. For the person who has a pure mind, they don't even think about that. They have no inclination of something discolored by comment they've said or heard. But for the person who has an impure mind, that's all they think about. Everything is discolored. I want to try to preach this evening. I probably won't get through, and you'll hope I don't because I've got a lot to say. I want to try to preach on a pure mind, a pure mind. How do we keep a pure mind? I sure hope you want one. I hope it's your desire, your prayer, your intent, your God-given determination to have a pure mind. How do we have a pure mind? First thought I want to mention, one word, realize. There's some things we need to realize. Could I say first we need to realize that the Scripture is right. I just read a verse about purity. And that verse in the Bible says that even pure things can be twisted to an impure thing. Well, you know who said that? God did. And I say this evening, we need to realize if we want a pure mind, we need to realize that the Scripture is right. What He said is right, and what He said is wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter what I believe or my opinion or my feelings or my suggestions or what grandma and grandpa said or what the preacher said. What matters is what the Bible says. God determines what is right and what is wrong. And it is right. Now, I find myself keep falling into this rut to one vein of thought. I want to try not to do that. For the pure mind that I'm talking about covers every aspect of our lives. But I'll keep falling into this rut of this one thought. This thing of purity as far as relationships with man and woman. the desire for that love, companionship, physical relationship. We understand by me saying that what I'm talking about, right? I don't have to go into any detail, right? I understand that. I hope you do. All those things are right. God said it was right. Mrs. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. He said that's a right desire, but that right desire can be twisted to have some kind of wrong action. And that which is pure can be impure by how we think and how we act. So I say this evening, the Scripture is right. If God said it's wrong, it is wrong. Listen, doesn't matter what the world says. If we get our beliefs from the world system, we are in trouble. Because they think homosexuals are all right. Even in the elementary grades, they're telling them it's okay. I say that's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. God said, by the way, God has the right to tell us it's wrong. He made the rules. He's God and He has that right. So I say, first we need to realize the Scripture is right and there are these desires that hopefully everybody has are right as long as they're handled rightly. And God said it's in marriage and in only in marriage. He says marriage is honorable and all in the bed is undefiled. And by the way, we are either married or we're single. There is no in between. We're not in between. We're not half and half. It's like you either are a man or a woman, even though the world thinks that's not exactly too clear. I tell you what, check the birth certificate. I'll just be kind and say it like that. You are either a man or a woman. You're male or female, and you are either single or married. So the Lord says in marriage, and only in marriage, is this something that's beautiful and right and pleasing to God. He designed it. I'm talking this evening about how we keep a pure mind. We need to realize that the Scripture is right and what God says is right. And this thing of desire and communication and connection and physical communication is right in marriage and wrong in anything else. And that's including not just the whole act, but even the communication, the glance, the thoughts, the touch, the flirting. I'm telling you, we're going to have to listen tonight. It includes not only the action, but it includes the attitude. You know what's called the seven deadly sins? Here they are: pride, covetousness, lust, anger, envy, gluttony, laziness. The thing I notice about all those sins is the fact that it's not even talking about the action, it's talking about the attitude. Pride. Attitude makes you act proud, do things proud. Gluttony and laziness and all that, it's the attitude. God says, I am more interested in just what you do. I'm interested in what you think and how you act inside. So this thing of having a pure mind, we're talking about a pure mind. Not even an action, but a thought can be wrong. And that's why Exodus 20:14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But notice what it also says just about three verses after that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. He says you ain't supposed to do nothing wrong, but you ain't even supposed to think anything wrong. I'm talking about the Scripture is right. Notice what that verse in Hebrews 13:4 says. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He says, I'm telling you what's right. And I am telling you what's wrong. And I am telling you, you break my law, you break my rules, and I will judge you. It will not be worth it. You'll regret the day. You see, God will judge the violators. And again, anything outside of marriage is a violation. That's why the Lord said through Paul, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He says, flee fornication. He didn't say sit around and discuss it. He didn't even say pray about it. He didn't even say resist the devil. He says run, get away. You don't talk to a rattlesnake. You don't try to discuss matters. You don't try to overcome them with your vast mind. You run, you get away. And that's what the Lord said. There are some times that victory comes not from standing, but from retreating, getting away. David ran from Potiphar's wife. And he kept from sinning even though he still got a light on. I'm talking about a pure mind. We need to realize that the Scripture is right. God told us what was right and He told us what was wrong. And He said to flee fornication, to run from it. It's kind of like Brother Tom and I was talking about one of his home projects about working with some sewer. And I thought about this. You can work with sewer and try and you can stand beside it and that smell permeates your clothes. You don't have to get in it. You don't have to walk in it. You don't have to wipe it on you. All you got to do is stay close to it, and you stink. And that's why God said fornication is something you better not play around with. It'll get you. So run away as fast as you can. And He is saying a single fault, not an action, not a deed, a fault can corrupt. That's why He said, run from it. Get away from it. Notice what He says in that verse. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, everybody knows that every sin that is committed, the action is done with the body. But He said there's something different about this thing when there's this physical sin. You understand that, right? This thing of fornication or adultery, He said, you are taking, if you're saved, the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're using for something that's vile, something that displeases God. He said, you're not just sinning, you're sinning against the body that God gave you, that He lives in. And that's what He said. I'm telling you, we have to realize tonight the Scripture is right. God told us the right thing and the wrong thing. And in this regard, listen to me, how a man looks is important. Now, I'm trying to be careful here. A man is affected by sight. That's all it takes. So a man needs to be careful of how he looks. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Not an action, not a deed, not running off somewhere, but just a thought. That's what He said. I'm talking about tonight having a pure mind. How in the world do I have a pure mind? First, I got to realize what's right and what's wrong and agree with God about it. Because you won't hear this in the world. They'd laugh at this. They'd scoff at this. I don't care what they think. I want to go by what God said. I need to realize the Scripture is right and it matters how a man looks. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Didn't say a thing about a deed. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. I thought while I was sitting there, recommending us men that we always look shoulder and higher, but even the eyelids. I'm talking about, it matters how a man looks. It says of David, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. How'd that work for David? He saw her. He wasn't careful about how he looked. Job says this, Job 31:4:1, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I have made a covenant with my eyes. I have made an agreement with my eyes. You ain't going to look at something you ain't supposed to look at. And then he said, why should I think upon a maid? Again, no action involved. Thinking. Now that's what God says. We'll look that, but he doesn't. I say he takes it just as serious with our sin of the mind as the sin of the actions. Now, there's different consequences, of course. No doubt. You think about robbing a bank, that's bad. Or you rob the bank, that's worse. There's no doubt the consequences are worse, but it's just as much sin. So it matters, listen, how a man looks. But listen, it's also important how a woman looks. Now with a man, he's the one that's looking. But with this point, it matters how a woman looks as far as her appearance, how she looks. The Bible's full of dressing modestly. You ladies need to know, I think you already ought to know. If you don't, I'm telling you now. Men are affected by looks. And therefore, when you dress, and how you keep yourself. By the way, I ain't saying look ugly. You can be attractive without being attracting. And I think you know the difference. So it's important not only how a man looks, but it's how a woman looks that's important. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, in like manner also that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be with outward adorning. I say again, you can be attractive without being attracting. I tell you what, the most beautiful lady on earth, listen to me, is a lady who loves God, who is dressed in a modest way. I'm telling you, that's a beautiful lady. And don't you believe the world's lie? You got to look a little bit loose, or you got to dress a little bit flimsy. Oh, that's a lie. I'm telling you what God said. I want to have a pure mind. I hope you do. So I've mentioned first, we need to realize, how do we have a pure mind? We need to realize the scripture is right. Number two, realize the struggle is real. Talked in that verse about a pure mind and an impure mind. We are in a battle. We are in a war. There are two opposing sides in every believer. They are opposite. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you're saved, you have an old nature. That's the old Rick still in there. And they are completely opposite. And the Holy Spirit only wants what's pure and only wants what's godly. He wants us to do and think and act only in godly things, and that's him working inside of us. And he'll work even with our conscience and try to keep us pure and keep us right. So we have that one side of us, the Holy Spirit, who's always wanting to do right and tells us that's wrong, don't do that, when we do things we shouldn't. The struggle is real. There's a real battle going on. There's the Holy Spirit in us, and also there's the devil. We need to understand something. The devil hates God. That's how this whole thing started. Lucifer trying to overthrow God, and he hasn't stopped his tactics. And the devil wants to hurt God through us by getting us to do something we shouldn't do or think something we shouldn't think. I'm telling you, the struggle is real. The battle is real. The war is real. There's opposing parties trying the best to control us. The Holy Spirit for good and God. The devil for self and sin. And I don't know if you've noticed, but he's pretty smart. And he knows your weakness and mine. And he knows exactly how to get to us. He cannot read our mind, but he knows us enough. He knows mankind enough to know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. To where if we'll let him, it'll work. There is in every one of us a drawing towards sin. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, the devil wants to use that flesh part of us who make us do something that hurts God, dishonors God. And the devil has great timing. You hunters, you fishermen, you know what you're wanting? You're wanting good timing. Right when that deer walks by, you want to sit there and be ready to shoot that rascal. That fish you're fishing for, you want the bait to go right by when that fish is hungry. The timing's got to be right. And the devil knows that, and he knows exactly how to send them right by. Put them right at the wrong place. Put us in the wrong place where we shouldn't be. To where the devil's put the date before us. I'm talking about the struggle is real. We better realize that if we want a pure mind. And the devil will say, look at there. That make you happy. That'd feel good. That's what you need. Look at there. Don't fall into the rut of just a physical relationship. I'm emphasizing that. But there's a whole lot more involved with this message than just that. But if you want to stay in there because it applies to you, that's okay. I want to drive it home wherever we're at. There's the devil, and then there's our flesh. Listen, God has given us a passion, men and women, for love. And he's given us that passion, every one of us, that we might love him with all of our heart, without any hesitation, without any conflict, without any competition. He wants us to love him with all of our heart. So he's given us that love. It's like what David said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I just want you. God's put that passion in us. And the devil wants to take that good passion and make something wicked out of it. Twist it around to make it something fleshly and ungodly. Listen, here's the word, impure. So it's the devil in the flesh that's fighting against the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, trying to get us to do something wrong. Jesus said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see why? Hey, I got news for you. Your flesh ain't saved yet. Your flesh, my flesh, is still ungodly, still despises the things of God. That's why you think every once in a while, I think I'll just stay home instead of going to church. That's why I'd rather watch the news instead of read the Bible. Rather go to Walmart than visit. That's the flesh. That flesh does not like, does not love, does not care for, does not want the things of God. It never has, never will. It will not improve. In fact, I ain't so sure it don't get worse. Could I just throw this in? I don't know whoever else will hear this. But I want to say it to us and anybody else who ever hears it. Listen to me. There is nothing on earth worse than a dirty old man. And you understand what I'm saying, don't you? You understand what I'm saying, right? Filthy old man always thinking things dirty, always saying things dirty. And I want to just say to any old man, any dirty old man, that pretty young lady ain't overwhelmed with your beauty. She is not impressed. Quit thinking she is. The devil's lying to you. Old can't hardly climb out of the recliner and think some pretty lady's going to be thrilled because you wink at her. Get over it, Buster. The devil in the flesh. I'm telling you, that's the kind of lies he tells people. When I worked at Hardy's as a teenager, as a dirty old man that worked there with us, and the things he said to us teenage boys, he ought to have been shot for. Oh, be God saved. Your flesh isn't saved. It hungers for the things of the world. It won't lessen. It won't get any better. When we're tempted, it's like the devil saying, come on, come on, come on. We're drawn into sin. Now, the temptation itself is not sin. Jesus was tempted. But what we do with the temptation determines whether we sin or not. That first thought, if we notice it, recognize it, deal with it, shut it off, put a verse in, it doesn't become sin. But if we pamper it and help it grow or act on it, it becomes a sin. And listen to me, I can create a pattern of sin to where it becomes addiction. So you not only have the flesh with a desire for something wrong, you're now conflicted and trying to overcome an addiction. There's a whole lot of people making billions of dollars every year counting on that. And what happens if we ain't careful? We'll so get used to it, our conscience will be seared to where it doesn't even hardly bother us anymore. I'm telling you, there's a struggle that's real. If we're going to have a pure mind, we better realize, number one, the Scripture's right. What God said is right, like it or not. There's a struggle that is real, number three, and I'll be done. The Spirit is ready. I thought about this in spite of all the conflict that we all face. There's a Holy Spirit who lives in us, who's ready to help us. Oh, it's not defeat. We aren't fighting a losing battle. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of our own selves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He makes us able. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Paul said, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside you and He gives you the power to say no. To resist the very thing you want in the flesh to overcome. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have a choice. We are not powerless. We can, through God's power, say no. Jesus did. And He said, go and do what I did. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart is like a watchman and a gatekeeper at a door. I've said this before. The gatekeeper looks and says, who's coming? If they know that person coming toward the gate is a friend, they open the gate and let them in. But if they do not know who this person is, or if they know that person approaching the gate is an enemy, they close the door and don't let them in. And the Lord said, keep your thoughts. Don't let any evil thought in. And we can make that easier by being careful about what we watch, where we go, what we listen to, what we expose ourselves to. We can make it a whole lot easier if we just say, no, I ain't going, no, I ain't watching, no, I ain't listening. And then we won't have to worry about the really severe temptation as much. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Do it with all your heart. See, what we let in affects us. What we see, what we hear, what we do affects us. And that's why he says, don't even let it in. If you go to your door tomorrow morning, and there's a masked man knocking on your door. He's got a mask on his face. You're going to open the door. I hope not. You're going to call 911 or you're going to go get number 9 and put Mr. Masked Man out of his misery. Or you out of your misery. And the Lord said, don't you let the masked man in. You know it's wrong. Don't let it in because it's going to do more damage. The path is going to lead you to destruction, heartache, and misery. the gatekeeper opens up to good, closes to the bad. Open up. Get in this book. Find you verses that apply to your weakness, your battle. Memorize them. Say them over and over and over, especially when the devil comes. You see, it isn't just the fact that the devil's afraid of Scripture. Now, I think he is. But us quoting those verses get our mind in the right direction. So it's a double benefit to us. It says there in that verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues literally means a well. Well, bubbling up of water, like an artesian well. In other words, what he's saying is this, your thoughts will become actions. Lot, before he ever entered Sodom, thought about entering Sodom. Prodigal, before he ever got to the far country, he thought about going to the far country. Those are bad, those are negative. But just in the same fashion, people who did good thought about doing good first. Like Paul and David, even though David did do wrong, and Elijah, and even Jesus and Moses, they thought about doing right. And the issues of life, their good thoughts brought about good things. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. It doesn't matter what the world says, the world's a liar. You believe the world, you're in trouble already. But he said, don't be conformed to the world. It really means to be made into the image, to be molded into the image, to be made to where you look like and act like and talk like the world. Don't let that happen. But listen to me. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Taking good thoughts. It'll renew your mind. We need to realize tonight the Scripture's right. Struggle is real. The Spirit is ready. That's one point. I may have about 12 or 13 left. I don't know. But I know this. Listen to me. I'm broken. So are you. We are made of broken junk. And our natural tendency is to fail. Our natural tendency is to do wrong. And the flesh that's in me and in you is too strong for me. Even Peter thought, oh, I would never do that. But he did. And we need to realize we are flawed, we are broken, we have failed, and we will fail until we realize we need help from God. We are in trouble. I want to say along with David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. Colossians 3:5, I'm done. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And the first one he gives as an example is fornication. He said, put it to death. Consider it dead. If you don't, you're going to find out. It can come to life real quick. I preach a lot on actions. Doing, don't do, and ought to. But what's in this mind is still important. We need a pure mind. Let's stand together.